tax cut or tax shift. The property tax amendment that could remake Longboat Key. On the morning of June 2nd, in a marble chamber 200 miles north of the Gulf, the Florida legislature did something it had spent the better part of a year circling and then backing away from. By a vote of 75-26 in the House and 30-9 in the Senate, lawmakers agreed to put before voters a constitutional amendment that would more than quadruple the state's homestead exemption and set Florida on a path toward eventually erasing property taxes on primary residences altogether. For most of Florida, the proposal, branded by Governor Ron DeSantis as Save Our Homes from Excessive Property Taxes, reads as a tax cut and a generous one. For Longboat Key, it reads as something more complicated and potentially more dangerous, a question about who, in the end, will pay to keep the lights on, the engines running, and the island standing. Three of every $4, because here is the uncomfortable arithmetic of this barrier island. Roughly three of every $4 in the town's general fund budget come from property taxes, about $18.3 million of a budget that runs around $24 million, according to the town's own FY2026 figures. And of what the town spends, well over half goes to a single category that residents tend to assume is untouchable: police and fire. Running those two departments alone costs Longboat Key about $14 million a year. The fire rescue budget, at roughly $9.4 million, is more than double the police budget and is, by a wide margin, the largest single line item the town carries. Strip away or steadily shrink the revenue that pays for all of that, the town's leaders argue, and you do not eliminate the cost. You merely move it to other taxpayers, to fees and assessments, or to the quality of the services themselves. Eliminating a revenue source doesn't eliminate the cost, town manager Howard Tipton has put it. You've got to find another way to pay for it. Two of the town's commissioners have now made that case, in writing, to Tallahassee. Their letters, pointed, occasionally indignant, and notably unsuccessful in eliciting much of a response, are a window into how a small, affluent, fiscally conservative town came to see a statewide tax cut as a threat to its existence. A town built on the tax it may lose. To understand the stakes, start with what makes Longboat Key unusual, even by Florida standards. The town straddles two counties, Sarasota and Manatee, and sits atop a tax base that has more than doubled in a decade. Total assessed value now exceeds $6 billion. The town's operating millage rate has held remarkably steady, around 1.96 mils, for years. And yet, the town's annual property tax haul has roughly doubled, from about $10 million in 2015 to nearly $20 million today, as soaring valuations did the work that a flat tax rate concealed. The arrival of the St. Regis Resort on the Sarasota County side in 2025 added another $500 million in new construction to the rolls, helping offset the hurricane-driven dip in values on the Manatee side after Helene and Milton. That flat rate is the first thing residents should understand about their own exposure. The town collects only a sliver of any given tax bill, roughly two of the 13 to 15 total mills a Longboat parcel pays. The rest flows to the counties, the school district, and a constellation of special taxing districts. A $2 million home on the Key carries an annual property tax bill that can run between roughly $26, $530, $500, depending on which county and which beach bond district it falls in. The median Longboat bill sits around $9,274. But of all those dollars, the town's own operating share is comparatively modest. The second thing to understand is who actually lives here. Longboat Key is, demographically and fiscally, a community of second homes, seasonal residents, and investment condominiums, to a degree that sets it apart from the year-round suburbs and small cities that dominate the statewide debate. That single fact, as we will see, scrambles the politics of an amendment built around the homestead, the home where a Floridian actually permanently lives. The third thing, personnel costs consume roughly 80% of the town's general fund spending. This is not a government with a lot of discretionary fat to trim. When officials warn that a revenue shock would land on public safety, they are not being theatrical. They are describing the structure of the budget, how we got here. The road to the November ballot was long, contentious, and until nearly the end, deeply uncertain. Governor DeSantis first elevated property taxes to the top of his agenda in the fall of 2025, calling reform the big kahuna of his priorities and framing it in the language of liberty. A Florida homeowner with a primary residence, he argued in a September speech, ought to be able to own that home free and clear of the government, rather than paying rent to them indefinitely. His case rested on a number meant to alarm. Statewide, the property tax revenue collected by local governments had nearly doubled in 7 years, from roughly $32 billion to about $60 billion, and was projected to reach an astounding $83 billion by 2032, according to the governor's Save Our Homes from Excessive Property Taxes materials. Floridians can't afford it, the proposal declared. Taxpayers need relief. The plan DeSantis advertised carried five planks: an immediate $250,000 homestead exemption paired with a legally mandated schedule for full elimination, a requirement that whatever revenue remained be spent only on core services, a cap on business assessments, the five-year residency wait, which the governor cast as fairness, and notably, a state trust fund to channel grant money back to local governments for those core services. That headline figure carries a nuance the campaign is unlikely. On the key is across the state, the rate held roughly flat while the bills climbed. The same dynamic the governor now decries as a crisis, and the town once counted as a windfall. A stalled first attempt. The House moved first, and moved aggressively. In October 2025, then-Speaker Daniel Perez unveiled a package of seven proposed constitutional amendments and a separate tax bill. An unusually crowded field that Democrats derided as, quote, razzle-dazzle. And that DeSantis himself, who wanted a single clean question on the ballot, complained, was designed to, quote, create confusion. Through the winter, House committees winnowed the field. On February 19, 2026, the House passed H.J.R. 203 by an emphatic 80-30, a measure that would have phased out the non-school portion of homestead property taxes over a decade while constitutionally protecting public safety funding at recent levels. Then it stalled. The Senate, which never filed a property tax resolution of its own, let H.J.R. 203 die in its Appropriations Committee when the regular session ended on March 13th, without so much as a hearing. The Senate's caution had a logic that resonates on a barrier island. There's 67 totally different counties in this state, Senate Appropriations Chair Ed Hooper observed, and a property tax issue that is great for one county could crush the poorer ones. A planned April special session came and went with property taxes pulled from the agenda in favor of redistricting and other matters. Reform looked, for a moment, dead for the year. The three-day sprint. It was not. In late May, in Tampa, DeSantis abruptly unveiled the, quote, Save Our Homes from Excessive Property Taxes plan and called lawmakers back to the Capitol for a three-day special session beginning June 1st. Releasing the details, as local officials would bitterly note, only days before the gavel fell. In a compressed 72 hours, the legislature reshaped the proposal in committee and then passed it. The version that emerged differed in consequential ways from what DeSantis had pitched and from what Longboat's commissioners had been reacting to when they wrote their letters. What the amendment actually does. If 60% of voters approve it on November 3rd, the threshold every Florida constitutional amendment must clear, the measure would do the following. It would raise the homestead exemption from its current $50,000 to $150,000 in 2027 and to $250,000 in 2028, indexed thereafter to inflation. Crucially, lawmakers carved school district taxes out of the expanded exemption. An amendment sponsored by Representative Sam Garrison, the Fleming Island Republican slated to become House Speaker after November, so the relief applies only to the non-school portion of a homeowner's bill. Independent analysts estimate the average qualifying homeowner would save in the neighborhood of $3,000 a year. The amendment would also lower the cap on annual assessment increases for non-homestead property, second homes, rentals, and commercial real estate from 10% to 5%. It would impose a five-year residency requirement, meaning anyone who establishes Florida residency after January 1, 2027 would have to wait half a decade to claim the enlarged exemption. And it would, by its own language, point the legislature toward a future path of fuller elimination enacted through general law, codifying what the governor's proposal had called a schedule for full elimination. The phase in itself was a concession. DeSantis had pitched the full $250,000 exemption immediately. Lawmakers stretched it across 2 years, beginning at $150,000. The Vanished Trust Fund. One feature that did not survive is worth dwelling on, because Longboat's commissioners had singled it out, and because it had been one of the five pillars the governor himself advertised. DeSantis's plan promised a state trust fund to channel grant money back to local governments for core services. Lawmakers scrapped it. The amendment headed to voters limits property tax revenue to core functions, public safety, infrastructure, stormwater, education, but offers local governments no guaranteed replacement money at all. The fiscal hole is not small. A House staff analysis estimated the measure would reduce annual revenue to non-school governments by about $4.6 billion in its first full year, rising to roughly $8.4 billion a year as the exemption climbs. The Florida Policy Institute's figures run higher still, projecting county losses approaching $8.65 billion annually by the end of the decade. Before the school carve-out was added, firefighters' unions had warned of cuts of up to 25%. The local alarm. It was into this fast-moving fight that two Longboat key commissioners dispatched their letters as the special session was convening. Commissioner Penny Gold wrote to Representative Leonard Spencer, urging him to reject the amendment outright. Her argument rested on the same independent modeling that has alarmed city halls across the state. An analysis of a $250,000 homestead exemption found that 85 Florida cities could not fund public safety at current levels, even if they cut every other service, Gold wrote, adding that smaller communities would face the steepest impact. She reserved particular scorn for the now-deleted trust fund, calling it a warning sign. If cities need state grants to keep the lights on, she wrote, the proposal is admitting that local resources won't be enough. The amendment, she argued, reroutes local funding decisions through Tallahassee, a fundamental change that deserves more careful study than a three-day special session can provide. Her conclusion was characteristically blunt. Florida's property tax system already works. That Gold's letter went to Representative Spencer is itself a small parable of the asymmetry between local governments and the Capitol. Spencer is a Democrat representing District 45 in suburban Orange and Osceola counties, a central Florida district nowhere near the Key, a sign that Longboat's officials were lobbying broadly. The reply Spencer's office returned was a form acknowledgement, thanking the commissioner for her engagement and promising that a staff member will follow up as soon as possible, should the inquiry require a response. The mayor's indictment, in a letter dated June 1, sent the very day lawmakers gaveled in. Mayor Deborah Williams wrote separately, and at greater length, to Representative William Will Robinson Jr., the Bradenton Republican who chairs the House State Affairs Committee, a legislator whose District 71 actually includes part of Longboat Key and who sits at the center of the property tax machinery. Williams's letter is a small masterclass in the genre, opening with diplomacy and ending with something close to a moral indictment. She objected first to the process. It was, quote, troubling, she wrote, that the incomplete details of such a massive change to local government funding are shared just a few days before a three-day special session. For months, she noted, there had been ample opportunity to disclose to the public and the local governments impacted the details of any tax reform. Instead, she charged, we are treated to political theater and something that's been crafted to achieve the 60% threshold, rather than making Florida and its local governments stronger and more resilient. Then she turned to consequences. What had been proposed, Williams warned, will cripple or bankrupt a number of cities and counties across the state without thinking as to how critical services, including public safety, will be provided. It would, she added, jeopardize credit ratings and borrowing costs, a sober concern for a town carrying roughly $42 million in debt. And finally, she made the argument that distinguished her letter from the standard fiscal protest. The proposal, Williams wrote, is not just a financial issue, but also an ethical one. Public trust, she argued, is the currency that allows all levels of government to function, and without it, we are bankrupt. Her ask of Chairman Robinson was direct. Do not endorse the governor's plan. The numbers behind the warnings, the 85 cities figure that anchors both commissioners' letters, is not local hyperbole. It comes from an analysis released by the Florida League of Cities, drawing on modeling by Wichita State University, and it has become the rallying statistic of the opposition. The study's central finding is structural and, for a town like Longboat Key, sobering. Property taxes make up roughly 43% of municipal general fund revenue statewide and are, in the league's words, the only stable, locally controlled revenue source most Florida cities have. More pointedly, the study found that cities of all sizes spend more on public safety than they collect in property tax revenue, meaning that even modest losses can open structural gaps. Fully eliminating homestead property taxes, the analysis projected, would cut municipal ad valorem revenue by about 38%. Fixed exemptions in the $250,000 to $500,000 range would carve out 25 to 35%. The 85 cities the league identified as unable to fund public safety, even after eliminating every other service, include Largo, Gulfport, Temple Terrace, Seminole, and Tarpon Springs, and, the league has said, the smallest and most rural communities would fare worst of all because they have the fewest alternatives. The Florida Association of Counties reached parallel conclusions. "We know this is a tax shift," the group's deputy director Jeff Scala told members in a pre-session briefing. "They're framing this as a tax cut, but there are small businesses, all businesses, they're going to feel the pain. Renters? They're not going to get an exemption. This proposal makes Florida more unaffordable." What other communities are saying? Longboat Key is far from alone in its alarm, and the chorus from across Florida helps explain why the fight has become so charged. In Tampa, Mayor Jane Castor warned that everything could be at risk if there are dramatic changes to property taxes, noting that her city already spends more on police and fire than it brings in from the tax. In Orange County, Mayor Jerry Demings was even starker. "Services will be cut, there's no way around it," he said, projecting a loss of roughly $270 million a year. Miami-Dade's property appraiser estimated his county alone could lose nearly $925 million over the first 2 years. The most instructive parallel for Longboat Key, though, lies south, in the Florida Keys. Monroe County, like the Key, is a high-value coastal community with an unusually large share of non-resident-owned housing, and its officials have warned that the amendment could squeeze funding for public safety and schools, precisely because so much of its tax base belongs to people. The homestead exemption was never designed to help. DeSantis, for his part, has anticipated the opposition and tried to inoculate his supporters against it. At a pre-session rally, the governor cheerfully predicted that once lawmakers approved the plan, voters would be greeted by a flood of stories about how devastating it would be for local governments, and urged them, in advance, to dismiss such reports as scare tactics. The warnings, in other words, were priced in. The road not taken. Mayor Williams' letter pressed an alternative that deserves more attention than it has received, because it goes to the heart of why local officials feel steamrolled. Buried in the Florida Constitution is a body called the Taxation and Budget Reform Commission. Established by voters in 1988 and written into Article 11, it is a 25-member panel appointed by the governor, the House Speaker, and the Senate President, none of them sitting legislators, charged with examining the state's entire tax structure and budget process, and empowered to refer constitutional amendments directly to the ballot. It is, in short, a vehicle purpose-built for exactly the question now before voters. There is only one catch, and Williams named it. The commission convenes just once every 20 years. Its next meeting falls in 2027. This would be a thoughtful alternative that would allow all sides of the issue to weigh in before anything is placed on the ballot. Williams wrote, asking Robinson if he were so inclined, to charge the Taxation and Budget Reform Commission that meets in 7 months to perform the necessary review. The obvious obstacle, she acknowledged with some tartness, is that the commission doesn't meet until 2027, and that is a timing issue for our outgoing governor. That last phrase carries the whole subtext of the fight. DeSantis is term limited and leaves office in January 2027. A reform routed through the 2027 commission would arrive after he is gone, claimed by a successor. A reform on the 2026 ballot belongs to him. Williams was not alone in drawing the connection. On the House floor, Rep. Robin Bartleman, a Weston Democrat, made the identical point, noting that the Budget Reform Commission is, quote, constitutionally obligated to discuss this exact topic and is set to convene next year, a tax cut most of the island can't claim. There's one more wrinkle, and on Longboat Key, it may be the decisive one. By the county property appraiser's count, Only about a third of the island's homes and condominiums, roughly 2,000 of them, are homesteaded. The other two-thirds are something else entirely. Second and third homes owned by affluent out-of-state retirees and investors, and a long-standing contingent of Canadians and other foreign nationals who have wintered on the Gulf Coast for generations. Under Florida law, a homestead must be an owner's permanent primary residence, so none of those owners can claim the expanded exemption at all. The Snowbird, whose primary home is in Toronto or Connecticut, the limited liability company that holds a Gulf Front condominium as an investment, the family that summers up north and winters on the Key, for every one of them, the relief the governor is marketing as a break for every Floridian is worth precisely nothing. What those owners do get is the amendment's other half, the cap on annual increases in non-homestead assessments, lowered from 10% to 5%, which will slow how fast their bills can climb. That is a genuine benefit, and on an island this expensive, it is not a small one. But it is also the crux of Longboat's predicament. Where non-homesteaded property is not the exception, but the clear majority of the tax base, the amendment steers its headline, cut to the homesteaded minority, restrains the growth the town can draw from everyone else, and still leaves the same roughly $14 million public safety bill on the table. Should the town be forced to close that gap, the likeliest targets are the very owners who got no exemption to begin with, second homeowners, foreign nationals, businesses and renters, through higher fees and special assessments. The relief, in other words, flows toward one set of residents, while the bill drifts toward another. And the wealthy snowbird who finally decides to make the Key a permanent home will find the door briefly shut. Anyone establishing Florida residency after January 1, 2027, must wait 5 years before the larger exemption applies. What it means for the average Longboat Key resident? So what, in practical terms, should a Longboat homeowner expect? Begin with the good news, because there is some. A permanent, homesteaded primary resident of the Key would see up to $250,000 of taxable value shielded from non-school taxes. A real saving, plausibly a couple thousand dollars a year on a typical Longboat parcel, phased in across 2027 and 2028. For a retiree on a fixed income who lives here year-round, that is a meaningful break. But the relief comes wrapped in a caveat bigger on Longboat Key than almost anywhere, even for the homesteaded retiree who pockets the saving. The town that protects them has the same bill to pay, and as the island's lopsided rolls make plain, a narrower base from which to pay it. That is the town's bind. Longboat still has to fund roughly $14 million of police and fire, and property taxes still supply 75% of its budget. If that base erodes, whether through the homestead exemption, the tighter non-homestead cap, or the longer march toward elimination the amendment invites, the town is left with a narrow menu. It can cut services, with public safety, the hardest line to protect, given how much of the budget it consumes. It can lean harder on fees, special assessments, and the beach bond districts. Or it can shift more of the load onto the very non-homestead owners and businesses who see no benefit from the cut, the textbook definition of the tax shift the counties warn about. None of those options spares the average resident. They merely distribute the pain differently. In a town where the town's own millage has stayed flat for years, even as bills climbed, residents have already learned that a steady tax rate can mask a rising burden. The amendment proposes the inverse lesson, that a falling tax can mask a rising risk. The timeline ahead, the fight now moves from the Capitol to the campaign, and the calendar is unforgiving. Florida's primary elections fall on August 18th, when the same legislators who passed the amendment and the challengers hoping to unseat them will begin testing how the issue plays at the doorstep. The general election and the amendment itself arrive November 3rd. 60% is a high bar. Florida voters have rejected popular-sounding measures that fell short of it before. Should it pass, the machinery engages quickly. The first, $150,000 tranche of the expanded exemption takes effect in 2027, the same year the Taxation and Budget Reform Commission convenes, and the same January, a new governor takes the oath. The full $250,000 follows in 2028. Local governments, Longboats included, will spend the intervening budget cycles modeling cuts they hope never to make and revenues they cannot count on. The Florida League of Cities has already prepared city-by-city loss estimates for every municipality in the state under the $250,000 scenario. Longboat Key's number is, in effect, already written. For now, the town's leaders are left where small governments so often find themselves in their dealings with Tallahassee, having said their piece, forcefully and on the record, to a capital that may or may not have been listening. Mayor Williams put the stakes in terms larger than any single budget line. "As local government is the government, the people know the best," she wrote. "If we don't stand up for the ethical principles that serve as the foundation for the greater good, who will?" In 5 months, 60% of Florida's voters will answer her and decide for Longboat Key, who pays for the island.